listening to the Hour of the Time.
I'm William Cooper. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, some things have certainly been happening, just as I told you they would. I told you that the incidents of violence would escalate, become more frequent, and more vicious in application. And that's certainly happening. Well, I wrote several stories which are all posted on the website. Four stories, to be exact. And I'm going to read you those stories now. I'm beginning from the when I first realized what had happened, and going right through to the last story I wrote concerning the surrender of the perpetrator. The victim, if you would. One of the victims. So, pay close attention. And then we'll have all the music, and then the wizard will be back to talk about international business corporations. Well, here goes. Gunman shoots five in Jewish center. Late last night, a middle-aged man ran into a Jewish community center, fired 20 to 30 shots, wounded five, including at least three children, and then escaped into the night. He was described as a balding white man in his 40s. Authorities state that the motive for the shooting is unknown, but we know exactly what it is, don't we? It is no accident that the incident occurred in a Jewish community center. The Jewish people have never learned from their past persecution. They repeat the same mistakes again and again and then yet again. You see, every Jew in Europe had owned a gun and had shot every German that came to hold them off to a slave labor camp. World War II, ladies and gentlemen, might not have occurred. If Jews had died, it would have been honorably in defense of themselves, like those great heroes of the Warsaw Ghetto, and not as human skeletons in slave labor camps. They would not have been forced to dig their own graves. They would not have had to kneel at the edge of those graves and then been shot in the back of the head to topple dead into those graves. They would not have been reduced to ashes in ovens. But Jews have not ever learned any of this. And unfortunately, it will be Jews who will scream the loudest for more gun control. You see, Jews are probably the most manipulatable group of people in this country and maybe even in the world. Jews have not learned that the God of this new world order is the intellect of man, that man is to become God, and that Judaism, along with every other religion, will not be allowed. Not be allowed. Once again, they will become slave labor in a world without God. Only this time, their fellow slaves will be Christians and Muslims, and every other religious man or woman who will not accept the new man God, the new Superman, just like Hitler envisioned. You see, there is no difference between Hitler's vision of the Superman and this new world order's vision of the new man God. But I don't want mass enslavement to happen to anyone, not anyone ever again. And I am disgusted that the world cannot realize what is happening. I'm going to repeat the same old mistakes over and over and over again. You see, the motive of all these seemingly random acts is gun control, gun control, gun control. The shooter is another victim of a socialist mind control program. And it will be discovered that he is an ex or current mental patient of a mental health professional. He will be discovered to have been or will be currently on some type of prescribed medication such as Prozac or a similar drug. Not for him to attempt to commit or to commit suicide when capture becomes imminent. President Clinton said about the shooting, quote, "Once again, our nation has been shaken and our hearts torn by gun violence. It calls on all of us not only to give our thoughts and prayers to the victims and their families, but intensify our resolve to make America a safer place. Just what do you think that means? I have warned repeatedly that these incidents will continue and grow more frequent and more violent as time rolls by. It will only stop when international socialism realizes its goal of total and complete disarmament of all people everywhere. And it will not be because people are without guns. It will be because the terror is no longer needed. The agenda will have been served. A psychiatrist testified on Tuesday that the Georgia boy accused of wounding six classmates in a May school shooting was plagued by suicidal thoughts and believed he heard voices giving commands. But not just voices, robotic voices. Exactly the kind of voices that would be produced by an intracerebral implant or intrusive microwave or other electromagnetic devices. We know these procedures exist because every investigation into mind control techniques has produced official documentation and testimony which proves it. The only thing we don't know is the level to which it has been perfected and the methods of its use. Now, I warn you again that these incidents will escalate in frequency and violence until these mind control programs are opened up, the victims discovered, and treatment programs are put into place to counter their programming. If this is not accomplished, the hysteria will build until most Americans consent to be disarmed. Well, let me say that again. If this is not accomplished, the hysteria will build until most Americans consent to be disarmed. But many of us know that a disarmed people is an enslaved people. And those of us who will not consent will engage the enemy in a great civil war in an attempt to quell the socialist insurrection and to reinstate constitutional Republican government as guaranteed by Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution for the United States of America. It will be a very, very long and a very, very bloody war. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have fought in a war, and I know the terrible consequences of such a course. I have spent many years in a so far failed attempt to awaken enough people so that no one will have to suffer through such a war. I very strongly advise you to wake up and help me to solve these problems while there is still a possibility, slim though it may be, to prevent the violent war that is sure to come. But I advise you to thoroughly prepare and don't make the mistake of thinking it can't happen in America. You see, very powerful competing political ideologies have been set in motion that virtually assure that it will happen in America. That was the first story that I wrote and posted to the website upon discovery of what happened last night. Here's the second. Right again. The Seattle Times reported that late last year, Buford O'Neill Pearl, 37, of Washington State, the suspected Los Angeles shooter, tried to commit himself at the Fairfax Psychiatric Hospital in Kirkland, a Seattle suburb, but got in trouble when he pulled a knife on staffers and eventually pleaded guilty to second-degree assault. Our sources in Washington report that Pearl complained that he heard voices in his head. Sources claim that Pearl has been in and out of mental treatment several times. Here is the third story. Law enforcement knew and abused. Let me say that again, just in case you missed it. Law enforcement now in advance. The Los Angeles police or the Federal Bureau of Investigation knew exactly who the perpetrator was and went right to his van parked on a street about 5 miles away near the Van Nuys Airport. Now, can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, how many red vans there are parked on streets in Los Angeles and the vicinity? Police and the Federal Bureau of Investigation say they did not know the identity of the shooter until they found his van. but of the hundreds of thousands of vans, cars, and trucks parked on the streets of Los Angeles, police knew exactly where his van was parked and went straight to it. All police knew was that the shooter drove away in a red van. Buford Furl's van is the only red van that was broken open and searched. This can only mean that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or the Los Angeles Police, or maybe both, knew the crime would occur before it happened. Exactly the same as Oklahoma City and Columbine High School in Colorado. Typically, the police reported the van was full of ammo, survival equipment, and white supremacist literature. Also typically, a subversive socialist Southern Poverty Law Center immediately produced a picture. Quote, "I have a picture of him, Furl in a Nazi outfit," end quote, said Southern Poverty Law Center Representative Potok. And here is the last story that I wrote and posted today. Suspect surrenders. Buford Furl surrendered today in connection with the shooting at a Jewish community center in Los Angeles, in keeping with the profile of a victim of a mind control program. He symbolically committed suicide, most probably without even knowing that he was doing so. You see, after eluding capture, Furl took a taxi to the Nevada border at State Line, where he obtained another taxi, which took him to Las Vegas. Buford Furl walked into the Las Vegas field office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and immediately surrendered. Now bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, this is a man who had escaped. Nobody had any idea where he was. He looked so much like so many other middle-aged, balding men that he could have disappeared anywhere that he wanted to. Also bear in mind, this is the man who, while voluntarily seeking commitment to a mental institution in Washington State, drew a knife on attendants when they attempted to take him into custody. His surrender to the Federal Bureau of Investigation after escaping across the California state line was, in fact, the symbolic fulfillment of his programming to commit suicide. It was revealed that he had ties to so-called hate groups. Now, the question I have to ask is, I wonder if it was the Southern Poverty Law Center or the Anti-Defamation League. I wonder if those were the hate groups that he had ties to. It was also revealed that he had been ordered by a court, and listen to this very carefully, folks, he had been ordered by a court to continue taking prescription medication for mental problems. He had been ordered by a court to continue taking prescription medication for mental problems. The Seattle Times reported today that Furl attempted to commit himself last year at the Fairfax Psychiatric Hospital in Kirkland, Washington. Dr. Tim Rowe, the hospital's former medical director, stated that during a scuffle, Furl pulled a knife and was subsequently arrested. King County court records in Seattle show that Furl pleaded guilty on April 26 to second-degree assault with a knife. He was sentenced to 8 months in jail and 12 months community supervision. Furl received credit for time served and was released in May. Veltri Johnson, spokesman for the State Department of Corrections in Olympia, Washington, said the court ordered Furl to continue taking prescribed medicine but would not identify the type of drug. No one would comment further on Furl's psychiatric problem. A close source, an expert on psychotic drugs, said, quote, "They don't usually court order people to take antidepressants, and I have never heard of that happening. I guarantee the drug he was on was one of the neuroleptic drugs, also called antipsychotics," end quote. End of story.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud crash. I'm going to lose the theory of the video. 1,000 points. will be moving and turning the street.
Get the scoop and tune in to Coop. You heard it.
And that's me.
Well, I hope you got your pen and paper ready, because tonight we're going to talk about IBCs, International Business Corporations, and
how to layer your asset protection structure in order to get the best benefit from all of it.
We've been introduced to offshore trusts. And I've told you an awful lot about them, told you how they work. I've explained the structure and the different people who are involved and what their role is and all of that. But you may find you need additional offshore support services. A trust may not be the whole answer for you. And I think that later you're going to find out that one trust is never the answer. You need at least two or three trusts, maybe more, at a minimum of two IBCs, and you don't have to purchase or build these things all at once. You can do it over a period of time. And you have to have some plan. An IBC, ladies and gentlemen, is an international business corporation. And if you want to develop a secondary income, sheltered and completely unencumbered, establish a trading account offshore, have an offshore bank account you can control, or if you just want to do business offshore, or just want to do business, period, in a method by which you can protect your assets. Are you tired of your government dictating what, where, and how you can run your business? Are you? They're constantly creating new laws, new rules, new regulations, and new taxes that they slough off on the small business owner and the large business owner and the corporation, everybody as a matter of fact. And pretty soon you find that you're doing more of their paperwork, less of running your business, and you don't even work for them. How should you be doing their paperwork? Truth is, you don't have to if you understand the law. Have you noticed that these legislators are the first to judgment-proof themselves and their assets? Well, it's true. And all citizens should learn to judgment-proof their assets. It's what this series of broadcasts is all about. This is number 11 in the series, by the way. Many of you are asking, how many tapes are in this series? Well, I was surprised to discover that so many listeners couldn't count. And then a couple of nights ago, I lost track myself, and then I realized that, you know, after a while, you just aren't counting. This is number 11. Well, if you set those parameters that I've just sort of tossed out, and there are many more that we could discuss, then you need an international business corporation in a tax haven. It is no longer safe nor practical to do business in this country, to have a bank account in this country, to allow anybody in this country to know anything about your finances or your assets or your business. And quite frankly, it's nobody else's business anyway. Did you ever read the fine print on the signature card that your bank gets you to sign when you open an account? Ladies and gentlemen, it reads, and I quote, "The undersigned hereby agrees to abide by all the rules of the bank." Let me say that again. It reads, and I quote, "The undersigned hereby agrees to abide by all the rules of the bank," end quote. Did you ever see those rules? Do you know what you signed? Do you know what you agreed to? Well, let me tell you, what you have actually done is agreed to abide by all the administrative rules of the Secretary of the Treasury, in effect, the government. You have, in fact, signed a contract with the government, voluntarily waived your right to privacy, Fifth Amendment, everything, agreed to be accountable to the state. Is that what you wanted when you went in to open a bank account? Is that what you thought the rules of the bank were? So why didn't you ever ask to see the rules of the bank and really read them? See, what you did was enter into a partnership with the government. Well, it may not be practical for many people to get out of the banking system altogether. Through the use of a pure trust, you can minimize this problem or even eliminate it entirely by establishing an affordable international business corporation with a private offshore bank account. The government then knows nothing of your banking business and has no way to find out unless you tell it. Unless you have that condition that we have previously discussed known as flap jaw. You know, you've all known those people. From the moment they walk in the door, they can't shut up until, and they're still talking as you shut the door in their face on the way out. You open the door, they start talking, and they talk. They keep on talking, and they talk all night. They talk every minute, every hour. They talk to themselves in the bathroom mirror. When they go to the bathroom, they come back out, and they're talking to some mysterious ghost in the hall, and they're just always talking and talking and talking. And when you leave that night, you say goodbye, they're still talking, walking down the sidewalk. And in a couple of hours, you know everything in the world about them. Their business, their bank account, their money, their children, their neighbors, their dog, everything. We all know people like that. Wouldn't it be better just to shut your mouth, not let anybody know anything about any of your private business? When somebody comes around prying and asking, say, you know, I don't mean to be impolite or anything, but that just really isn't any of your business. I don't pry into your private affairs, and I certainly don't want you to pry into mine. And some people, believe it or not, will become insulted when you say that, or you will say that, and that's good, because if they're the kind of people that are insulted when you ask them, please don't pry into your private affairs, then they're not the people that you want around you anyway. That's why some people are so hurt when they find out that I don't care whether I know them or not. So I choose my friends very carefully. Very careful. International business corporations and trusts can protect you, ladies and gentlemen. They can protect your business, and they can protect your family in at least four ways, and there are many more. But these are the basic things that you need to know right now. One, they can reduce the amount of hard-earned cash your government can grab in taxes, because if the money's not yours, the government can't tax you on it. They can ensure that your wealth is passed on to your heirs intact. Your heirs or assigns. Some people don't have heirs, and they assign someone. They can prevent seizure by the authorities, including the courts, acting on behalf of third parties. And number four, they can protect you and your heirs from capital gains tax. When I get through telling you how to structure this, you're going to feel kind of silly that you never thought of this yourself, because it's very simple. But what I'm going to tell you tonight, I invented. I can guarantee you, you have never heard it from anybody else. You may hear it in the future when all the little thieves out there get their hands on it and claim that they're the ones who invented it, but you're going to hear it for the first time tonight. Nobody else has ever disclosed this method of structuring and layering ever before. It was on the internet for a while on our website. It's not on there. And maybe it is. Maybe it is still there.
Maybe it is.
If you want to see it, just go click on that Blues Trust thing, or click on something. I forget what you click on. Just go click until you find it. How about those for directions? Harvest-trust.org. Those of you who don't have computers, do not have access to the internet, you are missing out. You are missing out. And you've got to change that. Some of the best computers in the world. But 5 years ago, I would have done anything if I could have got my hands on one of them for any price. You can now pick up for $500, $600, $700. The whole system. Top of the line. Fastest modem made. Fastest, biggest hard drives. Huge processing chips and big giant chunks of memory and everything. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. It's incredible. So stop procrastinating and stop being afraid of computers. Anybody can learn them. You don't have to learn any new special language or anything else. It's real easy today. It really is. You'll be up and running before you know it. Now, the government has proven that I'm telling you the truth because they are continually attempting to attack IBCs and trusts through the taxing authorities. And this is absolute proof that they work. They are not successful with offshore IBCs and offshore trusts. They are successful with corporations and trusts in this country. Now, as a member of this organization called PIL, you can obtain an IBC at the best possible terms and conditions. And folks, I've looked at them all, and this is a good one. There are others that are just as good from other sources, if you don't want to get one from this source. It's up to you. I'm not trying to tell you where to do these things. I'm just educating you. And if you want to do them with Bill, I'm giving you that opportunity. The Bill is incorporated under the laws of Antigua. Bill is an international business corporation. It offers a variety of offshore support services. It's a virtual superstore of services designed to fit the circumstances of entrepreneurs the world over. PIL can help you to operate your business and or personal financial affairs in complete confidentiality via a private and legal international business corporation and trust in combination, or you can build a complete big bull structure, and I'm going to be talking about that in a few minutes unless we run out of time, in which case I'll talk about it tomorrow. Now, here's what PIL recommends. PIL recommends the IBC owned by a trust, and they suggest the Bahamas. The IBC may be wholly owned by the trust or vice versa. The IBC may be the settler of the trust. And this will depend entirely on your personal objectives and circumstances. Now, I'm going to tell you a different way that requires more trusts and more IBCs when I get around to that portion of the broadcast either tonight or tomorrow. You see, confidentiality in the United States is virtually non-existent. Non-existent. An international business corporation, no matter where or which tax haven it is formed in, will give you these features. Complete privacy and confidentiality. It's the law. Single shareholder subscriber is permitted. Shares may be held by corporation or trust. You can get the shares in the form of a bearer certificate, meaning whoever is holding the certificate owns the corporation. Which is really neat, because if they ever come in and seize all of your papers and everything and the certificate of corporation, or certificate of bearer shares is in there, and then they attempt to take you to court because they are claiming that you own the corporation and that you were somehow moving money around unlawfully, all you have to do is make it clear to the court that the corporation is owned by whoever owns the bearer share certificate. And you don't hold it, it's not in your possession, and then ask the court where it is. When the prosecutor stands up and says that it is in his possession, the prosecutor has then just admitted that he owns the corporation. How about that? I would love to be in the courtroom when that happens. And it will happen one of these days. If somebody has the presence of mind to understand what's going on. You can have a single director, and it may be a corporation or a trust or a human person. Absolute non-disclosure of beneficial owners. Bearer shares, as I've already told you, are permitted. There are low fees for setup and renewal. The total for starting an IBC is $1,000. With Pearl. The price varies if you get it from somewhere else. It could be higher, but I don't think I've seen any lower. No statutory accounting or auditing of records. There are no filing requirements. There are no minimum capital requirements. There's no exchange of information agreement with any other country. You're exempt from taxes for 50 years if you form your IBC in the Bahamas. If you form it in Panama, and you're not doing business in Panama, there is never any tax on your corporation or its earnings. But if you do business in Panama, then there is. You see, so you have to know the law of the tax haven in which you form your corporation. Meetings are not required, but if held, may be outside the Bahamas or by proxy. The corporation is exempt from exchange control regulations. The certificate of incorporation is issued and renewed each year. Confidentiality. The corporation is established in a country that by law cannot divulge information about the directors or the owners. And if the shares are in the form of a bearer certificate, nobody knows until the owner produces the bearer certificate anyway. For asset protection, you can put your car, your home, your business assets in this corporation, and you personally own nothing. The corporation owns it. Then you can contract to work for the corporation for a small salary. And the corporation, in return, written into the contract, can allow you to live in a corporate-owned home or headquarters, since you're their agent or their attorney. You can drive a corporate car, etc., etc., etc. You have a confidential offshore banking account for the corporation. It's not your account, it's the corporate account. Set up an offshore checking account in the corporation's name. Use it to pay bills and buy assets for the corporation, such as cars, boats, homes, businesses, supplies, office furniture, etc. You own nothing. The corporation owns it all. Offshore management. Use your corporation to start a new business, expand your present business, manage your personal finances, or build and multiply your offshore profits by investing in other offshore investment opportunities. Now, international business corporations do have some restrictions, and you have to make sure you understand the law in the tax haven in which your IBC is formed. If it is formed in the Bahamas, you may not carry on business with residents of the Bahamas. If it's formed in Panama, you may not carry on business with residents in Panama. You may not own real estate in the Bahamas. You may not carry on business as a bank or an insurance company, agent, or broker. You may not provide a registered office for other companies. And all IBCs must maintain a registered agent and office in the company in which they are, in the country, I should say, in the country in which they are formed. If you form your IBC in the Bahamas, through Pearl, then you must maintain a registered agent and office in the Bahamas. And Pearl will provide that for you for a very small annual fee. bet you guys didn't realize that you could do all these things.
Well, the Constitution guarantees you can.
Guarantees you the right to contract.
And it says that nobody can deny you that right.
Isn't that amazing?
Hold out a pen and paper, because I'm going to tell you a little method for structuring here that really, really works. What you want to do, get your trust. First. Then. Then have a trust. Contract with you to be a contract agent for the trust. Do not name a beneficiary. Do not name a beneficiary. And then you, the contract agent for the trust, will develop an international business corporation in whichever tax haven you prefer. This international business corporation will then be named as the beneficiary of the trust. The beneficiary of the trust. When you form the international business corporation, you will have the shares issued as bearer certificates, or a bearer certificate. You will ask for nominee directors and an undated letter of resignation from those directors. You will then have that international business corporation make you the power of attorney. In fact, the acting, or actually the de facto attorney for the corporation, with a power of attorney to act for and on behalf of the corporation in all dealings. You will then, on behalf of that corporation, with the corporation becoming the settlor, establish a new trust. Establish a new trust. Then you will form another international business corporation, just exactly the same way you did the first, and that IBC will become the beneficiary of the second trust. The beneficiary of the second trust. And that international business corporation, ladies and gentlemen, will found another trust as the settlor of the trust. And remember, on each of these IBCs, you become the attorney with the power of attorney. That second IBC forms another trust, and the beneficiary of that trust will be the first trust. Then you have the first trust issue you a power of attorney to act on behalf of the trust, and you submit to PIN $225, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. You're going to love it. Well, I don't know, maybe you won't love it.
You're going to submit to PIL $225 in order to have a change of deed, trust deed, and have it reissued with an offshore grantor, so that you are no longer the settlor, no longer the settlor of the first trust. You can have
the offshore or the new grantor or settlor of the trust named as either one of the business corporations or the third trust that was created. I recommend that you do it as the third trust that was created. You are now out of the picture. You don't own anything, but you control everything. You have powers of attorney from the IBCs to conduct all of the business of the IBCs. You have letters of resignation from the nominee directors so that if they ever try to wrest control of the corporation out of your hands, all you have to do is date it, and they're out of there. And you can date it for the day after the corporation was formed, or the day the corporation was formed. Doesn't make any difference. And then you can appoint your own directors. But you, acting as the attorney of record, with a power of attorney, for these international business corporations, can then conduct the business of the corporations. And since each of the corporations were the settlers of the trusts, you can then, on behalf of the corporations, but not on behalf of yourself, submit letters of wishes to the trustees to have the trusts perform whatever things that you need them to perform. Nobody can ever loan any of the business or the taxes or the money or anything on you because you don't own any of it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing whatsoever. If you operate the corporations and if you submit your letters of wishes to the trustees, always in a legal and lawful manner, always doing business properly, legally and lawfully, you can never get in any trouble. So that's how you can own absolutely nothing in the world and control literally billions of dollars. You can build an empire with it. You can make sure that the contract employing you contains a clause that upon your death or upon your incapacity or your severe illness or mental illness or accident or act of God or whatever you want to call it, whether you personally have named will then become the new attorney of record for those corporations and will be acting upon behalf of those corporations. All done lawfully, all done legally, all without you owning anything.
Oh, but Mr. Cooper, oh gee, didn't you forget something?
Well, what could that be?
Didn't you forget the buyer certificates? Well, who knows?
Well, gee, I don't know. I don't have them.
Well, who's got them?
Even if I knew, I couldn't tell you because I signed a confidentiality agreement with the corporation in my contract. It specifies I cannot divulge that information. And it's against the law of the company, or the country, I should say, in which the corporation was formed for anybody to divulge that information.
Well, Mr. Cooper, who owns the company?
I don't know. Whoever owns the bearer share certificate owns the company.
Well, then, if nobody knows, where are the profits? Where are the company going to get?
Well, the corporation will put the profits into the trust. If the corporation that's the beneficiary of that particular trust needs money, the trust can distribute trust funds to the corporation that's the beneficiary.
But where does that corporation put its profits?
Well, if that corporation has any profits, they would go to the trust for which that corporation is the settlor for, or to whoever owns the company, whoever is holding the bearer share certificate that steps forward and says, oh, the profit belongs to me. That's what happens. You just have to make sure that you don't own four corporations.
If I were you,
I would make sure that one or the other of the trusts owned one or the other of the corporations, or both. And remember, you're going to have three trusts.
Three
trusts. The original one that you started. Remember, it has an IBC as a beneficiary. That IBC is the settlor for the second trust. The second trust has an IBC for a beneficiary. That second IBC is the settlor for a third trust. That third trust has as a beneficiary the first trust. You have stepped out of the picture completely, except you have contracted to control everything. And if I were you, I'd make sure that my salary was not enough to meet the requirement to file and pay income taxes in this country. Now, if you don't think you can do that, you go down and sit down with an expert. And there's plenty of them around. It might cost you some money. But if it will give you peace of mind, you go sit down and outline this structure, this layering structure that I just gave you, and ask them if it will work. In the first place, they will be shocked to see such a simple layering structure that protects you absolutely and completely. Because no one has ever heard of it or ever seen it before. I developed this, and until tonight, or until I posted it to the website, no one in the world knew about it. And believe me, I have done my research. It has never been done before by anyone. I'm the only one who has done it, and is doing it, and will continue to do it. When they take a good look at it, and believe me, I've done this, I've made sure, I've gone to some of the best experts in the world and paid a lot of money to have them look at it and tell me if there was anything wrong with it. They were amazed. They said it was the best structure they have ever seen in their entire life, and that it was bulletproof, and ladies and gentlemen, it is. Absolutely and completely bulletproof. If you build your structure and layer it like I have just told you, you too can become bulletproof. Remember, I'm telling you, you must do it lawfully. You must do it legally. You must obey all laws. If you have any questions about anything, talk to someone who is an expert and get their opinion and get it in writing. And then, God bless you and your assets. So, you have my blessings and my permission to use that which I have developed. I hope that everybody in the world puts one of these structures together and uses it. And if you think it's worth anything to you, then down the line somewhere, send a little contribution in the form of cash or blank money orders. And they will not be mine. They will belong to the corporation which has purchased all rights to all of my intellectual material, patents, copyrights, etc. So you will not be donating to me. In fact, nothing ever comes to me, ever. Nothing that you've ever sent has ever gone into my pocket. Ever, not once. Not one penny of it belongs to me, nor would I ever take one penny of it. It isn't worth it. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you have realized some benefit from what I have taught you tonight. I also hope you're smart enough to use it properly, and I also hope you're smart enough to understand that you do not have to do anything illegal, unlawful, or criminal in order to make it work.
It works perfectly if you just obey the law. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. God bless each and every single one of you. You see, I really do love you all. I always have. And I probably always will. But you know what? When my daughter says something that's bad or wrong, I don't tell her it's okay and she's sweet and nice because she did it. No. And I won't do that with you either. The only circumstances wherever I could do it is if I did it. Good night, Annie.
Good night, Colonel Allison.
I love you with all my heart and soul.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debt nation on earth. Our standard of living is dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They're closed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've extorted our hands and surrendered our arms. Federal nor reserve. The cashes make that fiat funny money, stuff you call dollars, for 2 minutes. They lend it back to us at fully paid value. Then charge you interest, so you get the debt, they get the interest. They get the gold, you get the shell.
Folks, I just stuck it to this Nazi jack-headed thugs again tonight. They just hate it when I tell you something that works.
A new world order.
We are the light. We are the thunder. This is WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA.
Here for you, WBCQ.